welcome to this SearchSecurity.com podcast. I'm Carolyn Gibney. Thank you for joining us. In this podcast, we're going to count down the top five ways to improve log management maturity models. We're fortunate today to be joined by Diana Kelly. Diana is a partner with Amherst, New Hampshire-based consulting firm Security Curve. Thanks for being here, Diana.
Oh, thank you.
Before we get started, I want to mention that this podcast is part of our Integration of Networking and Security School, which you can visit at any time by navigating to searchsecurity.com/netsec. Diana, before we begin, let's set the stage for those out there who aren't familiar with the concept of a log management maturity model. Can you describe what it is?
Definitely. It's really about thinking of log management as a coherent whole, as something that supports the different needs of the enterprise or the business. So using that log information to either create efficiencies, to help certainly on the security side with looking at things that could potentially be going wrong, as well as logging information that could be used in a historical investigation manner to see, well, what actually occurred on this series of systems, and ultimately being able to tie the picture back together. So rather than having just single atomic log files themselves, which may or may not give you a full picture of what's happening, it's really about being able to tie all that different information together into a more coherent whole to help the company be more efficient and, of course, to be more secure. So understanding that, creating the policies and the procedures to put them into place so that there aren't any gotchas after the fact of, oh, well, we couldn't figure out what happened because we didn't have that log file, or that particular log didn't have the information that we need. So getting mature is not only being able to tie the information together into a console or an engine view, but also having the systems and policies in place to ensure that the data that you need to take a look at in the log management system is there.
Okay, great. Well, let's get started with the countdown then. For the sake of our listeners, we're going to work our way through the list one at a time, counting down from number five all the way to number one. So let's get started. The number five way to improve log management maturity models is to log thoughtfully. Diana, what do you mean by thoughtful logging, and how can enterprise organizations achieve that?
Well, thoughtful logging is the act of thinking ahead before you collect the log files of what it is that you want to see within the log files, and also what you don't want to see in the log files, because sometimes because it's easy for us to log a lot of information, it's easy for us to store a lot of information because storage goes down all the time. It's getting cheaper all the time. So there's, in some senses, sometimes you'll see sort of the desire to, well, can't go wrong with logging everything. And part of being thoughtful about that is that, in fact, you can potentially go wrong if you log too much. So very specifically, thinking about what if you have a log file, and I've certainly seen these, and I'm sure many of the listeners have seen these as well, a log file that's storing not only the user ID during the login, but actually capturing and storing the password or the failed password of the login. And even more egregious would be storing that password in an unencrypted or unprotected manner. And this does happen. This has occurred, certainly not so much recently, but we still have some legacy systems where the log file was, in fact, recording all of that information. And so that's a concern because now you've got usernames and passwords within the log file itself, increasing the sensitivity of the data within the log information. Another sort of gotcha or no, you don't want to do this, it's really not a good thing to log, would be very highly protected sensitive information like personal health care information, social security numbers in the log file. Again, something that this is not thoughtful logging. This is actually too much logging. Credit card numbers, if you've got credit card numbers in your organization, obviously that's going to run under PCI, the Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard. These should not be logged and stored either. So being thoughtful about what it is you need to have in that file and also making sure you don't overlog. So what are the kind of, we talked about what you don't need or what you probably don't want to log. What do you want to log? The kind of information would be date and time, the source of where the request came from, and transactional information about what actually occurred within the application or the service or even on the system that could be useful long-term but is, again, not necessarily something that shouldn't be logged like a Social Security number. For the thoughtful logging as well, you want to make sure that in terms of that transaction information or things such as the source destination or if you want a user ID or a tied unique one-time token type ID within the log file to know what's occurring, very often you need to think about that prior to starting the log management, because it could be something that you need to actually configure within the application. If you've got a custom application, you may need to actually write certain things into the app to make sure that you're logging the data that you need. So all of that really brings together the sense of, you know, being thoughtful about what it is you want to do with that information and also being careful about not overlogging information or data that you don't want to keep stored in a log file.
Okay, great. So continuing on, the number four way to improve log management maturity models is to put policies in place that enable log management systems to accurately assess and track activity within applications. So what kind of policies would be necessary for this?
Well, policies would be taking some of that thought. So you've been thoughtful, so now you actually want to codify that thoughtfulness into a policy specifically. For example, for your custom built-in house applications, there would be requirements, security requirements that were delivered to the developer saying, we do log this information. We'd like it to look a particular way. We don't log that information being, you know, social security numbers, for example. So having that written down, once you've done the thought part, you actually write it down, put it into a policy, and make sure it's distributed to the people that are either writing the applications that you're going to be using in-house, the folks that are managing them, because very often with an application or a service, you have an option to turn the logging up more or less. You can be less verbose or more verbose. So understanding what level of verbosity you want within that log file so that the administrators, when they're setting up those file, those systems, can actually get those at the right level that your organization needs, as well as being part of the change management program, too, so that if there is a change that's required, it goes through the correct approval processes, the risk is analyzed, and before that change is made, you know who's doing the change, why that change is being made, and then obviously approval within the organization that it's the right decision to change that level, for example, of verbosity within the log management. The other thing where the policy is really going to help is when you're actually going out and doing assessments of new products that you're bringing or new services that you're bringing into the organization. If you've got a policy in place saying we need to track certain amounts of information, let's say a failed login, because that's something that's pretty common, or the time of usage of that system or the type of usage on that system or that service or that application, then as you're going through the RFP process with vendors, when you're buying an off-the-shelf product or, you know, a shrink-wrap type solution from a vendor, as you're going through the approval process to actually bring this in-house, saying, this is the kind of thing we need your application or your service to deliver to us from an informational log perspective, and then making sure that that's in there. It's a good time also to negotiate if the data that you want in the log file isn't being logged. Talk to the vendor about what could be done to get that information there, as well as you can, back to our thoughtfulness and our codifying it in policies. Again, if there are things you don't want stored in that log, making sure that that vendor is not actually storing it. And it may seem like, well, you know, why would a vendor store that information? But you'd be very surprised that there really are, we do tend to do that overlogging. Some vendors do it as well. So you really do want to step back, not just assume this is a product from a big company. Of course, it's going to be logging only the appropriate data. You definitely want to check that it's logging what you need, what your policies have said, or requirements that are defined for necessary within that log, as well as making sure that you've checked what they're logging to ensure that they're not logging something you don't want. You'd also want to talk to the vendors as well as to your own developers about anything like a shadow type log. So very often we'll have, this is the main log, but then there's a shadow log, a sort of a log that may be used by developers or administrators that is quote unquote hidden, but is actually very often can be accessed. So you also want to make sure that there's not a second shadow log that's logging different data than you're getting in the original one, because you could still run into issues with logging too much information, or it may have the access to the data that you want, but isn't in the regular log. So you want to check both of those just in case there is some sort of a shadow log.
Okay, great. So number three on our countdown of the top five ways to improve log management maturity models is define logging requirements early in the lifecycle. Diana, this one really only applies to developers. Why is this such an important step in the log management process?
Well, because, and we touched on this a little in the last one, because if you haven't actually defined it within the process early on, how can your developers possibly know what they should or should not be writing to the log file or the level of depth within that log file, even the normalization of the schema, how it's laid out in the log file, which could impact your ability to bring it into a log correlation engine and be able to run rules against it. If you don't have it normalized, you may have to do some additional mapping or work back on the log engine itself, or, you know, in extreme cases, you may not be able to extract the data that you really want to. So it's a very good idea to think about up front what you how you want that log file to look, the information that you want in there, and then that has to be very clearly explained to the development team, because you can't just expect them to kind of guess at what it is that the business needs to have in that log file after the fact. Why it's important early is that if we've gone ahead and we've finished our application and it's out in production, it's very costly to take a finished product and try and re-architect it or re-engineer it to do things that it wasn't designed to do. So one is that you're going to have an additional expense because you have to step back potentially and do some heavy re-architecture. In some cases, you may find that just the way that the application and the modules have been developed, you may not be able to write in that extra logging. So it would be a really huge process, and possibly even going back to you know, square one in some cases, to actually get that application to log the information that you want to be able to extract that out into the log file. So the earlier you can think about this and get it into that requirements definition, get it into to the remit to the developer so the developers know what they need to write, then it's going to go a little bit faster, because the developers have really good, clear instructions on what needs to be in there, as well as not give you a gotcha after the fact where you're looking at the log and you're saying, wow, this really didn't have what we needed in there. How do we get it in? And finding out, unfortunately, it's going to be a very big process and challenge to get that data included.
Diana, we're almost to the top. Let's get to number two. This one is for off-the-shelf applications. Put logging requirements in the request for proposal. How can this step improve a log management maturity model?
Well, by having it in the request for proposal, you're going to ensure that the applications or systems that are purchased and brought into the organization are poised to be able to supply the data or the information that you need. And we've talked about some of the high-level basics on it, but even getting a little bit deeper down, this may be starting to integrate with other services, because you know, nothing works in a vacuum these days. So we're on a network where many services are consuming other services, so that it seems like one complete application to us, but it could be multiple services and modules. And very often you can get a disconnect with the logging, because one module may not log in a particular way. You may want that broader application that's consuming different services and modules to have a level of logging about what's happening in the whole application itself, rather than just having all the atomic logs from the services. So these are things to think about in terms of, as you talk to those vendors, ask how they're interacting with the other services and modules within their, either within your organization or within their own application, and making sure that the logging is now context aware of what else is going on. And it could be simple things such as trying to normalize the time, understanding where the geographic locations of the different logs or the services modules are. And it could also be a little bit broader, looking at specifically how that interaction occurs, so that if you have a transaction, but it's actually pulling from multiple different modules or services or other applications on the network, that you make sure that you're actually tying that data together so that you can have that more coherent whole. So even, you know, for example, you know, a failed login, well, was that failed login tied into a single sign-on solution? Or are you going to some back-end directory, like an LDAP directory or an Active Directory directory? Was there something in that interaction that could have actually been the problem rather than just the application itself? So sometimes you really want to get that bigger picture. And as you're talking to the vendors, making sure that they've understood context, especially if they're interacting with other services and devices during a particular transaction or process. And again, this is one of those things, and it's similar to what we talked about with when you're having your own developers write it, which is that if you haven't made sure that you've got that information that you need, and in this case we're talking context-aware logging as well as just general good logging practices from that vendor-provided solution, you may find that once you've got it installed, this isn't something that you can just, you know, throw up a quick compensating control and, oh, you can do a patchwork around and you've got that that additional log data. You may find out once it's in-house that you just are not tracking the data that you need, and that could mean that you have to go back to the vendor, get them to rewrite, or even possibly have to go off to a different application or service for that particular business need. So before you buy it, make sure you know what you need and what you want there, and then you can get the solution that's going to fit your organization's need rather than finding out after the fact that you just don't have it. So it's much better to do this up front. It's much cheaper and more efficient.
Great. Now we've come to the number one way to improve application log management models, and that is to include application logs when attacking log management. Diana, this seems like it might be an obvious one, but why is it so important for enterprise organizations to remember to do this?
Well, this is a little bit, you know, so my whole purpose here was to really talk about how critical it is to do applications. So coming out at number one, it's a little bit, we sort of gave you the tips on how to make this work, and now we're kind of wrapping it up into, but the bottom line is the most important thing is to log the application data itself. And the reason for that is that very often we see logs are collected from quote-unquote applications, but, you know, operating system from a, you know, from a router, from a firewall, for example, and not from the business type applications within an organization. So where we can get a huge, wonderful volume of important data from our other devices, such as our security devices, our routers, our network devices, that log image and that log data, while giving us a very good picture of what goes on in the network, most of the time is not going to give us the level of granularity of the activity within the applications itself for us to really get a good feel for, well, what's happening in that application or what's happening in that database. So that you're on the network and you're going to a database is one piece of information, but if you're not logging the database or the application related to that database, because very often we as average users do not actually go into a database and start writing our own SQL commands. Most of the time we use a front end that's an application that a developer has written that then goes back to the database and gets and extracts the data we need or makes the changes that we've requested through that front end. But the applications themselves are very often the key to what's really happening from a business perspective. So just seeing what's happening on your network, very important. I'm not saying don't log that, but really this is a much more critical, more granular step of understanding the logs of the applications themselves, of the services, the business services that users are engaging with and participating with every day. So taking that next step and going past just the network-type devices, looking deep into the applications themselves and being able to understand what's happening in that application. Because when I log into a server, that's something, yeah, that's important, but what did I do on that server? Let's say it's a human resources server. What if I increase somebody's salary? Well, that might be something that you'd really want to have tracked or at least know who did that particular transaction. So that's that next level, taking it into the applications themselves, and that's why I really think this is a very, very critical thing because it's a little bit harder to do than the network. It certainly adds layers of complexity, but in terms of visibility and awareness of what's going on, from an organizational standpoint, it really is an absolute game changer. So please do take that deeper look within your logging and within your maturity model as you get the network maturity model right with the logging of the network devices and the security devices. Then the next stage in that maturity is going ahead to actually logging the application information so you get that deeper awareness. And then hopefully the first four steps that were explained up to the please log your look at logging your application data will give you good insights on how you can make that work for your company.
Great. And as we wrap things up, Diana, well, I know that the top five ways to improve a log management maturity model are definitely important. Would you say there's one overarching theme that listeners should take away and that they should be sure to remember?
Yes, once you've got your logging of your network devices in place and you're getting you're extracting the information that you need, look at going that next step and start logging the application data itself, obviously thoughtfully, but taking that next step to get that greater awareness.
Great. All right. Well, before we go, let's recap the top five ways to improve a log management maturity model. Number five was log thoughtfully. Number four, put policies in place that enable log management systems to accurately assess and track activity within applications. Number three, for developers, define logging requirements early in the lifecycle. Number two, for off-the-shelf applications, put logging requirements in the RFP. And number one, log management should always include application logs. Diana Kelly of Security Curve, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
And for more materials in our intersection of networking and security school, please visit searchsecurity.com/netsec. You can also listen to more of our podcasts on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carolyn Gibney. Have a great day.